Matt Hammett is a singer, songwriter, an author, and a speaker. He was the lead singer for the band Sanctus Reel from 1996 to 2016. And he's here today to share his very personal story, detailed in his book, Lead Me, Finding Courage to Fight for Your Marriage, Children, and Faith. Matt, thank you so much for coming on Takeaways.
It's great to be with you.
Matt and I have been friends for years. In fact, we toured to nearly 90 different churches over the course of a few years, talking about this work-family balance of how to lead your family and be a leader at work at the same time. And you've written a book, Lead Me, and I first met you in my backyard around a campfire, and I was just explaining the impact that your story and your song made on me as a dad while I was traveling around doing all this Hollywood movie and TV stuff.
Yeah, that was fun to get to meet your family that first time around. I was a little intimidated because you're trying to decide if we were going to go on tour together.
Oh, were we?
So it was good though, man. It was great. We hit it off right away. And I think it meant so much to me when you shared that story about the song and what that meant.
Yeah, Lead Me paralleled so much of what many of us experience as professional people who are also wanting to lead family. Can you just give us a little bit of the background of your story? How was your professional life paralleling what was going on in your family life?
Yeah, there was such a gap, really, you know, in terms of the family dream versus career dreams. Mm. And that was the tension that I always felt, even from the very beginning when I started touring with Sanctus Reel. You know, when my wife and I in 2001 hopped in the back of a 15-passenger van with a bunch of guys, God bless her for doing that, you know,
yeah,
as a new wife, like straight off the honeymoon, straight on tour, totally broke, can barely afford hotel rooms. We're showering in Walmart parking lots, you know, just throwing water on our faces. And so, you know, it was kind of an adventure, but there were already some tensions building, right? That we kind of envisioned this life and it wasn't always exactly what we had expected. But really when we started having kids about 5-6 years into the marriage is when we really started feeling that tension, because then she went home. Mm-hmm. She was at home living our family dream while I was still out on the road adventuring with my friends, living the band dream. And that was when the career dream and the family dream really just started to, I could just feel that tension kind of building in me. And the big question for me was always, how do I do really well at my job if I don't show up? If I'm not there, well, then how can I be an amazing husband and father if I'm not there? I mean, the same question holds. And so those are hard questions to have to answer.
Yeah. And those are questions that I've asked myself too. And then kids come into the picture. Mm-hmm. Did that make things easier or did it make it worse?
Yeah, it became harder. At that point, you know, Sarah was working so hard at home. I remember it was like, you know, by the time we had two kids and they were both smaller, I remember coming home off the road, I'm exhausted. I've given you know how it is. You go out and you mingle with tons of people and it's lots of small talk, lots of energy, and you
lots
care
of
about
affirmation
people.
And applause, yes, and praise.
That as well, yeah. So it's like, on one hand, you know, you definitely are like catered to in a way. You do get a lot of applause on the road. And people are happy to see you. And at the same time, you're also depleting a lot of energy. Traveling takes it out of you. And sometimes all the meeting so many people, you give your energy away. And then, so I would come home kind of exhausted. But she needed me. She was exhausted from being a single parent. The person who really needed me the most was her. So I'd come home hoping to be replenished, but she needed to be replenished. Mm. So that was the time where it was like, you know, I walk in expecting my wife to run up to me and give me a big hug and welcome me home. But instead, you know, the diapers hit me in the chest, you know, on the way in the door.
Right.
And rightfully so. She needed me to be there. And that's what led to kind of the defining conversation in our life, which was the day I remember coming home very clearly and her saying the words that every husband longs to hear. We need to talk.
Oh.
It's the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, those are the words, yeah, that we long to hear. Well, Matt, let's back up a little bit.
Yeah.
When you were on the road and you were doing well at work, what did you think your wife was thinking at home?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of my husband. he's out there doing a great job. Can't wait for him to get back.
Yeah, I think all those surface things, maybe some of the affirmations, well, you know, people love our music and we're our band is growing. And, you know, like you said, all the applause on the road. It's like you kind of assume like...
And oh, you she think might... she was happy and well taken care of and protected while you were on the road?
I think I wanted to believe that. I think it was easier to believe that, hey, see, she sees things are growing here. She sees our career is growing. And if it's good for me, it's good for us. And it's good for the family, ultimately. And I think that it's much, much easier to live inside of the illusion than to really peek your head out of the illusion and take a real look at life and what's happening. Or to scarier, to really look inside, not just my heart, to look inside her heart and to hear what she was really thinking and feeling. That was the real thing that I think I didn't want to do. Maybe I avoided it because it was easier to do.
And what was the reality of what Sarah was thinking?
Yeah, so the song Lead Me that I ended up writing about this issue in the beginning says, you know, in picture frames, I see my beautiful wife always smiling, but on the inside, I can hear her saying, lead me. You know, the song goes on to really express the heart that she was trying to convey to me, which is, hey, you're chasing all these dreams, but you're, what about us? You know, we're hungry for your attention. We're hungry for your love. It's like you're here, but you're not here. And I think she tried to tell me those things. You know, people would ask her, you know, it must have felt so good when Matt finally heard you, when you wrote the song Lead Me about your heart. And she said, well, yeah, but I tried to tell him 1,000 times before and he didn't listen. You know, it's like she was trying to tell me in so many ways for so long. And I just kind of wouldn't let that into my heart because I didn't want it to disrupt or shake the apple cart, you know?
Yeah. And what did that look like at home when you would come home and she needed you and you needed her and the kids are caught in the middle of all this? What did that look like? Did it turn into arguments? Did it shatter the peace in your home? Was there a lack of communication and silent treatment?
Yeah, you know, I write in pretty brutally honest detail about it in my book and lay out some of the conflict cycles that we had that were just really volatile. We did not early in our marriage know how to resolve conflict well. We have those skills now, but it's taken so long to learn those skills. But early on, it was just like, you know, the pressure would mount and we would just blow up. And so we'd be walking around just, there were so joyous moments, right? As a family and with our children, but in between where there were so many moments of that tension of walking on eggshells or trying to recover from the last argument or the last tension we felt or the last thing that, had divided us. And it felt like, so often, sometimes when we'd sit down and try to talk about these things that we would actually end up making them even worse because we didn't know how to communicate about it properly. And so it was all those young marriage lessons with conflict and how to speak to each other and argue and heal and forgive. Man, those were very much just a work in progress for us. And it was very hard.
Some people might be listening to you and be saying, but wait a minute, the guy is doing such great stuff. He's out there on the road. He's singing about Lead Me. And he's trying to put into practice what he's preaching by providing for his family. Was that a sense of frustration for you? That, Lord, I wrote the song about the lesson you taught me, and I'm trying to share this, and yet I'm doing the very thing that I'm kind of saying was the problem, and that I'm not home with my family.
Yeah, that's kind of like a big thread through this book and this story. Is the irony of it all. Because on one hand, you know, yes, I did write the song. I was trying to take steps to recognize it, trying to take steps to turn my good intentions into action, which is one of the big things I talk about around this message, that good intentions, I realized, were absolutely worthless until they become actions based on the reality of what our families need from us, what God is calling us to do. And so I was trying to grapple with those good intentions versus my actions. And, you know, how am I living out this message? What really got me though was just in those seasons where I was still gone for long periods of time where I knew things weren't right at home and I was still getting on stage every night, singing the song Lead Me, like you mentioned, about being a more present husband and father. And I'm hearing, I remember being on a Winter Jam tour with 10,000 to 15,000 people a night. Everybody knew that song and they were singing every word back to me. And I remember it just mounting in my heart and me thinking, gosh, I sing this every night, but am I really living it? And that's when I think the restlessness started really mounting even more inside of me.
And so what did you do? What did you do to finally start righting the ship?
Yeah. There's a moment that encapsulates what you're talking about, which leads me to the answer to your question. When I wrote the song Lead Me, I played it for my wife. It was after a really hard, defining conversation. And when I played it for her, she said, "You think it's a song I want?" And I was like, oh man, I mean, but it was true, right? She's like, I want change. I don't need another song. That kind of became the anthem of, it became a metaphor for everything that happened along the way as God started speaking to my heart about what I should do. Because it's so much of it can be song and dance, song and dance. Hey, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm working on it. I'm thinking about it. I'm dreaming about it. But when push comes to shove, again, what am I doing about it day in and day out? That's the nuts and bolts of the action it takes to heal and change and grow. And that was the hard stuff that I started realizing, if I'm going to be the man that I say I am in this song that I sing every single night and she's asking me to be, I don't think I can do it out here on the road like this. We were in a cycle at the time where, you know, we owned the bus. We had tons of crew guys out with us. People's salaries depended on us being on the road. And I knew, man, I'm going to have to slow this machine down, or I'm going to have to find a way to leave this grind if I'm going to be able to be that man. It was I always say there's restlessness and there's release in my life. It's like I could feel the restlessness of inside. You know something needs to change. God's speaking to you. And then one day you kind of just know God says it's your time. And I had a defining moment where I felt God say, I'm calling you out. And I wanted to be like all the way out? Like he was like, all the way out. I knew that's what he was saying to me. And that was when I had to have a series of really difficult conversations with my brothers and bandmates who I've been touring with for almost 20 years.
And I want to get into the nitty gritty of that. And so I want to know how you heard from God, how you knew that that was the right decision for you and your family, how you were able to not totally give up your music career, because I see you doing amazing, incredible things right now. And I know that you found a way through the wilderness. Matt, how was it possible once you understood that you needed to step away from your music career, at least in the form that it was in when you were on the road so much? How did you make that possible financially, not just for you and your family, but also your band members and friends who were depending on you?
Yeah, I didn't know how it would be possible. I was scared. And I just had to keep making the choice to trust every single day that God would show me. One thing, you know, for me was just that God spoke to my heart one day when I was so worried about everybody else. And he said, what I felt God was saying to me was, do you think you're the only child of mine that I love? Do you think you're the only one that I'll take care of? Like, he was basically speaking to my heart that, like, it's not your responsibility. When I call you to do something, I take care of it. Mm. And I had to have trust that God would go ahead of me. And sure enough, as I made that decision, each step of the way, as I tried to be as faithful as I could to end well, and then eventually stepped out, every step of the way, every step of faith was met with more provision than I ever would have imagined. You know, I was still able to make music in a context that was good for my family. I was able to be using my gifts to write for other artists. I wrote the book Lead Me. Worked on, you know, some video projects that were fun. And the other cool thing was my wife and I started actually doing some of these things together more. Mm. And so there were blessings that I even saw in my family and how close my kids felt to me and the time that we had together. And I saw our relationships grow. And my wife and I learned how to overcome conflict in our marriage and do that well. And so I saw the fruit and I saw the blessing of the obedience in ways that I never would have imagined before. I mean, it was just faith that God would do something. And he certainly did.
I think the faith component sounds to me like it was absolutely essential to you being able to do this really well.
Yeah, I think it's hard when we talk about practical advice because we look at people's lives are so different and we don't know what seasons people are in. But what I do know for sure is that the person watching this show right now who's in the season of restlessness and they know God's calling them to do something and they kind of know what it is and they're not quite ready to face it and they're so afraid because they're not sure what transition looks like or change looks like or obedience looks like. Right now, as it was with me during a season, that's pressing on their heart. And they just have to decide, will I look at the reality of what God is speaking to me? Or will I keep it at a distance? Or will I push it away? Or will I try to stay comfortable? Or will I stay in my bubble and my good intentions instead of action? And I think that person has to decide right now, will I look in the mirror? Will I look inside? Will I look up? Will I hear what God is saying to me? Will I embrace it? Will I wrestle with it? Will I ultimately do what he calls me to do? That's the question. And it's different for every person in every single season. But if you're going through it, you know it.
Let's say somebody's watching us right now and they're saying, you know, I feel like God is perhaps using this conversation to confirm to me that I need to make some changes. I need to sit down and talk with my wife or my husband. What do you think are some reasonable expectations for guys who want to make difficult changes, who recognize that they've made mistakes in the past, with regard to how long this is going to take for healing to occur?
Yeah, you know.
I mean, is this like, hey, this is, you know, a couple of months, or is this years?
You know, I'm still on what I call my lead me journey. And that is the journey for me of learning how to become a man of action and not just good intentions. It's still a daily journey for me. And this has been, you know, 14 years since I wrote the song Lead Me. Mm. I think that embracing the fact that this isn't just going to just get better overnight or stay better, you know, over a series of conversations, but this will be an ongoing life journey.
Yeah.
For every single one of us. I do think those conversations and opening them up and being willing to just listen without trying to fix. I think for a long time, I thought, okay, I'm going to fix this problem. We're going to open the conversation. We're going to finish this series of conversations and then we'll have the answers. I think it's become much more of a heart conversation that's ongoing between me and Sarah. The willingness just to be able to hear her heart, hear what she's saying to me, not have to fix it all the time, but be willing to take that in. And then that becomes the motivation to live out what the action should be, even when it's not clear to me in the moment. Mm. But it becomes clear moment by moment because I've understood her heart.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing. Do I understand her heart? Have I received the words she said? Have I validated the words she said to the point where I'm operating in a way where I know how to love her because I see her. And I think that's probably one of the most valuable things we can do or learn to do. And that comes apart from trying to deflect the issue, right? Just facing it, hearing it, having that heart time.
Yeah.
The ongoing conversation.
Matt, what about the guy who's saying, I'm not a musician who's on the road. I can't just come off the road like this and write songs for other people. I got a job where I got to show up every day. Yeah. I'm there, you know, 9 to 5, 9 to 7. And I can't change my work environment. Can anybody be on this lead me journey and successfully find healing in their relationship?
Yeah, I do. I do think you're right that not everybody who might want to change their work situation can. You know, there are some people who will be able to. There are some people watching who will go, you know what? I know that the situation I'm in needs to change and this will speak to them in that way.
Yeah.
Then there'll be people who are just going like, man, I can be really overwhelmed by the work and family tension and I don't know what to do. And I guess my biggest advice to them again would, and I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but I do think the biggest advice that I could give would be to continue to open up those conversations about it together and to hear each other's heart and be willing to be committed to at least hearing what each other is saying together and what God is trying to say about patterns that they can change in their lives in the ways that they can to help their family and marriages grow.
Yeah. When you think of being a husband and being a father, what is it when the story's finished that you would like to know that your wife and your kids would say about you as their husband, her husband and their father?
Yeah, I desperately want to take the plays from my grandparents who were faithful till the end. That was one thing that spoke so deeply, and not just about my grandparents, but also my parents who are in their, you know, mid-70s now. They remained faithful through the difficult times, and they loved well and they served well. They loved God. They loved each other. Look at my grandfather who took care of my grandmother who had a stroke and Parkinson's for years while she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't talk, but he was taking care of her every single day in the most hard and intimate ways that he, you know, had to be there for her and be faithful. And the same way I look at my grandpa Louie, who was faithful in that situation, I hope my kids look at my life and say that God or that dad was faithful to love God and love mom and love us. And I do want them also to remember that I was there for them, that I was present. Because the biggest thing that Sarah said to me that stands out, that caused me to write this song and this book and be where I'm at, is one of the words she said to me. She says, it's like, you're here, but you're not here. It was like I was everywhere else, but in the moment with them. And I want them to see that dad was somebody who was in the moment with them along the way.
Well, I've been watching you over the years as we've worked together, and we were together at an event in Idaho recently, and you were there with your son. And man, when I look at you, I see a dad, a guy, a family man, and an amazing musician who is present, and you're there with your family. So
appreciate you, Kirk.
Yeah, man, well done.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Thanks for listening to this episode of Takeaways. If you love the conversations that we're having, please follow or subscribe to this podcast to never miss any of this great content. And please consider leaving a positive rating and a review to help others like you discover this show.